Welcome to the In Tandem Capital Podcast. Any investment, of course, is built on strategy, initiatives, and prioritization, all designed to drive and realize growth. But after the transaction is complete, how does that strategy turn to action? In particular, how can private equity owners work with management to help prepare the company for exponential growth? Once again, In Tandem Capital Managing Partner Elliot Cooperstone is here to explain. Elliot, nice to talk with you again.
Hey, Chris.
In your previous podcasts, you described your general approach to investing in healthcare services companies, as well as your approach to setting strategy and prioritizing initiatives. With that context, I thought it'd be interesting for you to describe in more detail how you work with companies in which you invest. To put it mildly, I imagine there are some things that need to happen to prepare a company to expand.
For sure. I actually think that many people underestimate the amount of thought and work that goes into preparing a company for accelerated growth. Even a company that's grown to become a leader in its market is going to have to evolve and mature to be able to progress to the next level. Our stock and trade is working with those local leaders who, by the way, are often family members, almost always entrepreneurial. We help them build the infrastructure necessary to reduce risk and increase likelihood of success when pursuing growth initiatives.
But a question I come back to frequently, Elliot, haven't these local leaders figured out how to operate effectively? I mean, they've been running their business. Don't they have the resources and know how to extend their growth?
Sure. These local leaders are successful for many reasons, and they have many attributes that we will want to nurture forever. But it would be unreasonable to think that the skill set and resources that enabled past success would be sufficient to allow a company to operate in hypergrowth mode or on a super regional or national scale. To prepare the company for exponential growth requires great design and significant investment in its underlying capacity to manage that growth.
Do all management teams feel that way?
No. There are some CEOs and their teams that feel like they've got everything necessary to grow on their own. They may be right, but in some cases, they may not know what they don't know. So it may seem that capital is all that's necessary, but really it's rarely the case that that's true. Then there are other CEOs and their teams that are proud of what they've accomplished. They're confident in their ability to manage, but they also possess enough humility to recognize that they will be better off tackling the challenges of growth and expansion with more than just some additional capital. They may want to have partners who not only provide the capital, but also have the experience and resources to guide and supplement their efforts. Those are the teams we're looking for, the ones that really embrace the support that we contribute to the partnership.
So let's get more granular. Describe for me some of the tools or frameworks you use to prepare a company for accelerated growth.
Well, generally, we start by assessing the infrastructure in place at the time of the investment. Then we go on to establish design principles for how that infrastructure needs to evolve. Remember, as we've talked about before, organizations are perfectly designed to get the results that they do. So we want to be intentional about all design, including infrastructure. But the centerpiece tool for enabling a company to scale, in my view, is the beginning categorization and mapping of business processes. I will tell you there are generally two types of business processes. There are core processes and enabling processes. Core processes would include areas like strategy, designing the member experience, acquisitions and business development, and demand creation. Enabling processes would be areas such as finance, HR, IT, areas that are necessary but indirectly support the value-creating activities of the company. So once you've been through that first level of categorization, some can be further categorized as part of the company's competitive work. Of course, other categories will be identified as being supportive or further enabling. This further categorization really shines light on what processes we want to own and invest in and invest heavily in, and what processes we may want to invest in moderately just to achieve competitive parity, And then finally, which we may want to outsource altogether.
And once the processes are categorized, what do you do with them?
We map them. And as soon as we have them mapped, we immediately start to think about how to improve them. So we have this survey we've done of every process in the company. We then look more broadly out to the industry and even beyond the industry to identify relevant best practices. So in our view, there's generally one best way of doing something. And we want to establish what that is process by process and be able to communicate its operation everywhere. Variation in process is error-prone and expensive, and we generally don't want any part of that. So what we're doing is creating process map documents that detail all the major business processes, sub-processes, micro-processes, activities,
all of them,
and supporting tasks. Yeah, all of it. And we're doing it in a way that represents communication of the highest quality and most efficient way to operate. I can tell you that having that level of definition in shareable format completely transforms the ability of a company to commit to accelerated growth, both in their existing markets and in new markets. So it's like creating a roadmap for a company to do things in the same best way everywhere while maintaining service quality and controlling the risks that are always inherent in rapid growth.
So listening to that, it makes total sense. I understand why doing something the same way each time, get it down, all of that makes total sense. It also sounds like not a little bit of work. Who gets all the work done?
It is a lot to do, Chris. The design work is a joint effort of our in tandem team of experienced process mapping pros and our management team members in the portfolio company who are usually incomparable subject matter experts. It's a great combination. Have to say, though, mapping is just the beginning. Once the processes and subprocesses are defined and mapped, every process and subprocess is assigned a clear owner. Each process owner is then meant to be responsible for the success of the process for which they're accountable. And we measure the heck out of those processes so we know when success is being delivered and when it's not. Success is measured through a set of key performance indicators, or KPIs, which are established for every single process and subprocess. These are measures that are selected to indicate the success or failure of a process and, by extension, the people and teams that are working within a given process. So there's a lot at stake. They need to be defined clearly, understood by everyone, and really be true representations of process quality and business success. For that to be true, they have to relate directly to the goals and objectives of the company for any given planning period, like an annual business plan or a budget. But done right, these KPIs become not just planning tools, but the decision-making lifeblood of the company. They're used by management to run the business all day long, every day.
Why am I not surprised that a process that you are involved in also involves measuring like heck or measuring constantly? That would be expected. To understand more about the KPIs, though, in listening to you, do the KPIs then become the job description for the process owners?
No, the KPIs are really a scorecard for performance. The job description is expressed in the form of another one of our tools called a performance model. The performance model defines the activities that lead to a process owner's success. So they're designed really to connect activities and objectives as explicitly as you would find in a competitive sport. So let's take golf, for example. A performance model has to take into consideration the business results you're trying to achieve. So for golf, that would be winning a match or winning a tournament. The performance model assesses the critical results that you're after. So for golf, take as few strokes as possible on a given hole. The performance model lays out all the best practices to get to those critical results. For example, in golf, it could be making the right club choice. There are a series of measures, such as the ones we've discussed. And in golf, that could be, for example, number of greens in regulation. And then finally, the performance model also incorporates environmental factors. For example, in golf, it could be speed of the greens. So the model really forms a holistic view of a specific manager's or employee's role. And it covers in detail the job duties and expectations that, when designed correctly, leads to the intended outcomes for that role.
I think it also leads to describing every negative component of my own golf game. I think you captured all of them there. Missing greens, choosing the wrong clubs, taking too many strokes. I mean, you went right through, ticked off each item on the list. But I've got to say as well, it sounds like performance models are the new job description. Does Intandem also help management assess how its staff are performing relative to the performance model?
Yes, absolutely. We are in the wings helping management in that way. And the performance model does, in fact, become the foundation of an effective assessment process. So we provide tools that enable the collection of self-assessment and 360-degree feedback from others, all of which is based on the performance model. And that output is then put into a form that's designed to reinforce strengths, to identify areas of improvement, and to give clear feedback on expected results that are directly related to the role description. We're trying to help our portfolio companies ensure that they not only have the tools to do this, but that they create an environment where feedback is seen as a gift.
The gift that keeps on giving, I'm sure. Thank you, Elliot. You've made it very clear. Process matters. And that's a really useful primer on how process excellence and clarity around process owner accountability can create scalable organizations.
That's so true. Setting the foundation with process categorization that allows for smart resource allocation, process maps that reflect best practices, KPIs that enable process quality to be measured constantly, and fully accountable process owners with clear goals. These are all key ingredients of Intandem's recipe for turning local healthcare services companies into national powerhouses.
Elliot, thank you.
Thank you, Chris.